Yeah, definitely. I would definitely consider that. When to walk away, that's a good question. I think I'll know when it's time. So I don't know when that time will come, but I think I'll know. I don't think I can ever go at this game half-assed. You know, I got to put everything into it. When I put it all out there, I feel like I can't do that anymore. I don't feel like I can commit to the team in the way that the team needs me. Then I think that's probably time to walk away.
Max, get your TB12 supplements right now, hot off the presses. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on a Tuesday. Swagoo's in the building. Stephen A., Max, I'm Molly. Let's get it. You know where we are starting. Max, he will definitely consider playing past 45. Should that comment be taken seriously?
Yeah, it has to be taken seriously. He defied the cliff, not only defied the cliff, but he's like walking on air right now. He doesn't need the ground beneath him, apparently. Look, there are athletes. The reason I made the cliff prediction in the first place is no one had ever played past their age 41 season as a really good quarterback, as a really good one. One had, Warren Moon, and he was done after that season. He wasn't good anymore. So, you know, like Testaverde threw a few passes at the age of 43 and a couple others, Doug Flutie, but they weren't really starting quarterbacks anymore, let alone great ones. Tom Brady has smashed the record. He's 43 years old. He's in the Super Bowl again. Yeah, he's on a loaded team both sides of the ball, but there are some loaded teams on both sides of the ball that are not playing in the Super Bowl right now. His is. I don't think that's a coincidence. I had Tom House, his throwing coach, on the radio show, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern, weekdays, by the way. I had him on yesterday, and Tom House was a relief pitcher in Major League Baseball in the 70s. He was pretty good. He wasn't amazing, but he's pretty good. And he's been a pitching coach in baseball and a throwing coach. He was a pitching coach for Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan was a guy like Tom Brady who defied the stats. Nolan Ryan was maybe the best pitcher in baseball at the age of 44. And he was still throwing at 46. And he would throw sometimes 200 pitches in a game. And he threw 100 miles an hour. It shouldn't have been. But he took care of himself. First of all, he was genetically freakish. But he also took care of himself in certain ways that Tom Brady, who shares his throwing coach, his pitching coach, also is taking care of himself. And Brady can no longer be compared to other football players as a guide to where he's going. I look at other athletes who are great at an amazingly old age, like Nolan Ryan, pitched when he was 46, like Bernard Hopkins, was beating world-class fighters at the age of 49. So it's a full contact sport, guys. Every play can be your last. But if Brady at this point is saying he would seriously consider playing past 45, then I have to take that seriously.
Well, the one thing we certainly do not have to do is take you seriously. We don't have to do that, okay? Because, you see, I'm glad that Marcus is here on this segment with me and Molly as well, because the key thing to point out, Max Kellerman, you know how that cliff, which turned into the ravine that you sat on for 3 years, and Molly, you can co-sign this. Swagoo, you can co-sign this. It's one thing to acknowledge a whoops or an oops and that you were wrong. It's one thing to acknowledge that you were a bit premature or wrong about the cliff. But do you have any idea what level of unmitigated gall you must have to sit up here and start off First Take, Max Kellerman, giving us examples of people who actually defied the odds, who defy. You had 4 years to bring. Do you realize, Molly, correct me if I'm wrong, every single example.
And Max,
I'll give you credit where credit is due. Every single example you brought up is a damn good one. They're good ones.
Good one.
Just trying to figure out how the hell you ignored them for 4 years. That's where I'm blown away.
They weren't football players.
Yeah. Hold on, Max. It's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you to speak. A simple nod of affirmation will do. What amazes me, Max Kellerman, is I'm blown away how you spent 4 years knowing those examples. It's not like those examples just happened. Every example you used was decades old. You had all of this information for 4 years ago. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, and
do you have an answer to the question or not?
Not only would you not admit it, You wouldn't even take the moment to acknowledge those very examples you've just educated America about. You educated America with those.
I don't see my name anywhere
examples.
In the question.
I find that just amazing. The answer to the question is I'm not taking Tom Brady seriously, but I just had to get that out because since I've had to sit across from you for 4 years dealing with this, I'll be damned if I'm going to rush getting to the answer without making that point, Max. I'm going to make that point. I had to deal with you for 4 years. Okay.
So why aren't you taking it seriously?
Now let's say this. Tom Brady, I don't believe, should be taken seriously for this one reason and the only reason. Him being the stationary target, he was only sacked 21 times this year. But people recognizing the fact that he's not the same, once you get pressure on him and you put a hat on him, it's one thing to do it and take it at 43. We know as we age, it doesn't just, you know, creep up on us. I mean, it smacks us, okay? It pimp slaps us. That's what it does.
Oh, it's like a cliff?
It's like, bam, like, damn, you just wake up one day and it's like, it's over. I'm just not that dude anymore. He turns 44 August 3rd. Then he'll go through another season. He'll be 45 two seasons from now. I think that's quite enough. And I think that, you know, if this he's got a chance to get a Super Bowl, obviously. But I just think that it's too much to expect. I'm not talking about his game, his arm strength, his accuracy, his ability to play the quarterback position. I'm talking about his ability to take those hits for the next 2 years. I think that's going to be about all. This season, next season, I don't even know if he'll go to 45, let alone go past 45.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Stephen A. Listen, I thought about Tom Brady when he first signed with Tampa Bay. I said, this is the last one. This is the swan song. He's stacking the team to get his walk-off coordination started. I'm not sure if he going to – if they win the Super Bowl, I'm not sure if he comes back and tries Same to chase here. Another one. But beyond that, like, next year, I believe, is the last year of the contract, last year of the deal. So Tom Brady has already pretty much accomplished what he came to Tampa to accomplish, right? Like, the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl is a cherry on top. He already took a team that had a playoff drought, took them through the NFC, had to play three games to get into a championship game, and now they're here in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs. And oh, by the way, he beat Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers on his way there. So look, Tom Brady did what he had to do in Tampa. I think this sped up the timeline. If they get a Super Bowl, I think we're gonna talk about the offseason with the potential of Tom Brady saying, I'm done. I came here, I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. There's nothing further left for me to do. I'm here in Florida already. I might chill and take vacation. Or he comes back another season and try to compound it. We're going to another Super Bowl. But the bottom line is this, man. We having a conversation about oddity right now. Like 45, we having a talk about a quarterback playing until 45 years old. The other greatest feat that I saw in the NFL was Jerry Rice playing into his 40s and still being able to do what he did at wide receiver. I thought Terrell Owens had a chance to play into his 40s with the way he kept himself up and kept in shape. So I get it. I see the longevity, and it's good for us to talk about it going beyond that point. But 45 would be the number because I believe next year will be his last year no matter what. Even if they win this Super Bowl, obviously talking about that, and him not coming back. But next year is the end of the deal. It's another $25 million that he gonna get, and then he'll walk away off in the sunset. But I'm with you too, Stephen A. Like, Max, you should have said all of that a couple years ago, man. Like, you just talked about Bernard Hopkins.
No,
and you
now
say
this
football
is why,
and contact sport.
Last time
I checked, boxing is too.
This is why, Stephen A., I can't take seriously you saying you can't take me seriously when you don't make a serious argument. You literally sat there just now and said my argument was ridiculous and then made the exact same argument. You made the cliff argument.
No, I didn't,
Max.
You said
he's going to fall off the cliff eventually.
Max,
he's going to wake up one day. You just
that's
said
false.
He's going to wake up. You said he's going to wake up
no,
one day
that's not what I said.
And not have it anymore.
No, I said
yes,
it was
it
ridiculous
is.
Coming
Rewind
from
the tape.
You. I didn't say your argument was ridiculous.
No,
I said it was ridiculous
said,
coming from you.
But then you said that he's going to wake up one day and just not have it anymore. In other words, there's a cliff. And you're determining
That's
that
true,
I did it prematurely.
You're not denying
and there
that.
Were examples, and there were examples, and there were examples from other sports that should have been illustrative. They should have illustrated the fact, showed an example that you can shatter the record. And that's true. Bernard Hopkins and Nolan Ryan were great athletes way later than they were supposed to be. But I'm just supposed to assume that's going to be Tom Brady years ago? I don't care how like,
no,
he took care of himself, but
saying,
lots
Max.
Of quarterbacks oh, took care of himself.
Hold on, Swaggoo. I got this. First of all, Max. See, this is the hazard that you have. See, even though you go on these soliloquies and try to act all cerebral and intellectual, when people actually listen to you, they get to compartmentalize what you say. What I was saying about what you said was all of those things, Hopkins, Nolan Ryan, and others, you could have spent any time within the last 4 years making that exact argument. You didn't. You hit it.
Wait a minute.
You didn't say anything
Wait
for 4 years.
That's because.
And then you come out here this morning and you give shining examples
That's
of how Tom Brady could have defied logic.
Before you get to comparing an athlete to other sports, he's got to break the record in his own sport first. Tom Brady wasn't at an unprecedented age when I said that. He was 40 years old. There had been other 40-year-old quarterbacks who did it. But the 18 months that I said, which covered two seasons, would put him at 42. And that had never been done before in football. Now that he's 43 and he shattered that record, there's no longer anyone in football to look at. So you start to look at other world-class athletes who didn't play football. Is that hard to understand?
No, it's very hard to understand coming from you. It's an idiotic argument. But go ahead, Swaggo. I'll get back to it.
Max, you know I love you, brother. And you know that me and you see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. But this one, dude, listen, the examples that you brought up, it's based in you prematurely talking about Tom Brady being done. You're the only one that said that, Max. That's only. The point that you miss every time only. We get to this. You're the only guy that was saying Tom Brady was done. You. So when you bring these examples, when you bring these examples to everybody else, it just puts holes in your argument. Because you had evidence that it could
be done. Except
that
I didn't say he was done.
But you predicted and
I didn't.
You said
Max, you called him a bum and then apologized for calling him a bum.
You said he was bad, Max.
What?
You said that.
What I said was he would be done in short order, which I defined as 18 months carrying him through the following two seasons. Then he was on a Patriots team with no weapons. And it looked to me like he was no longer elite, still an NFL quarterback. I never said he wasn't an NFL quarterback. And now he's playing very well on a loaded team. And I admitted that he defied the prediction. So what's the problem?
The problem is that your evidence of him trending towards a cliff, nobody else saw it. Nobody else
That's
saw
not
it
true.
Through his play. That's where you formulated your argument was based on Tom Brady's play. He's falling off a cliff. He'll be done. It's soon. And everybody else was like, I don't see it. Tom Brady's still playing well. They still 12-4. He wasn't tearing up the league, but he was still playing as a top starter in the league.
Max started, for those of the American people watching this show every morning, Max started on July 25th, 2016. That would be 4.5 years. Even taking into account your 18-month prognostication that you're throwing out there, that still leaves 3 years. 3 years that you've been talking about Tom Brady being done, even though the evidence obviously was to the contrary. And then this morning, the reason why we're getting on you is because this morning, what we're trying to say is giving you the 18 months, you still had 3 years to bring up all the points that you brought up this morning about Bernard Hopkins and the Nolan Ryans of the world and others, and you refused to do it. You wouldn't even give us a whoops. You wouldn't even do that.
Hold on. The 18 months covered two seasons. The third season, I admitted, okay, fine, he's at the outer edge, he did it. He defied the Cliff prediction. He's still pretty good. However, it was the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. And then last year, they won 12 games but got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, and Brady didn't have a good year. So it seemed to me, especially since he was missing receivers a lot, that he was no longer elite. After this season, there's no way to argue that. Whether or not he's aided by a loaded team is beside the point. He had a great season. So I don't understand.
You out,
if you're asking me, do I think he can continue this until
out,
he's 45, it is possible.
We're going to drop it. I'm going to help you out, Max, because I'm going to help you out here. We're going to drop the subject, because the more you talk, the more you are embarrassing yourself. We're going to drop this. Let's move on, Molly. Let's look out for Max, because Max ain't helping himself. Max is putting
the question
himself
is,
over
should
cliff.
It be taken
let's
seriously?
Look out for Max.
My answer is yes. Your answer is no.
This conversation,
just for the record.
Molly. Take
all
it away.
I know is, Max, you should stop eating shade vegetables, all right?
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Let's get to the guy that Brady knocked out of the playoffs, Aaron Rodgers, who has been with the Packers for 16 years, the exact amount of time Bart Starr and Brett Favre played with the organization. Here's the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, on Rodgers' future.
I don't think I have to do a lot of assuring him, because I think obviously his play speaks for itself. But I will say this, we're really excited, not only for next year, but the years to come. I mean, he's playing at such a high level that he always has. You know, this year was a special year. It didn't finish like we wanted to finish, but I think everybody's, you know, purely, you know, motivated to get back. And I think, like I said, I don't think there's anything that we have to do. He's our quarterback and he's our leader.
Absolutely. He will be here for a long time. I know I said that before, but for a long time.
Max Kellerman, do you believe Aaron Rodgers' time with the Packers will end poorly?
Yeah, I do. I think when it comes down to it, it'll be acrimonious when they split, because the Packers have a succession plan in place. And like was the case with Brett Favre, who still had gas in the tank, but they had this phenom Aaron Rodgers, who was sitting there holding the clipboard for a couple years and was clearly ready to go. He was younger, cheaper, and as it turns out, even better, which is hard to do. And eventually Favre, you know, goes to a divisional rival. Does that mean everything is just fine? Now, famously, Favre and Rodgers, the relationship could have been better early on especially. And maybe that was Rodgers' attitude, maybe it was Favre's, but there was some kind of alienating of Rodgers, it seems, especially in retrospect, when you hear and read stuff about what was going on at the time. Maybe his attitude, he came on too strong, too cocky, whatever it was. Rodgers isn't seeming to do that with Jordan Love. Rodgers was not happy and made it known he wasn't happy. They drafted his replacement instead of getting him help. But he seems to have, he said he was going to be helpful to Jordan Love. And so far, it seems that that has been the case. But that doesn't mean that when it comes down to it, eventually, when Rodgers, you know, his horizons seem limited and Jordan Love is ready to go, if they move on from Rodgers, I don't expect that to be great, especially since Rodgers has to be sitting here now feeling, damn, they wasted a whole bunch of my prime, hoping every year I would somehow overcome the shortcomings of the coach and the rest of the roster. And oftentimes he did, you know, he could win double digits, he could win a playoff game or two, but really not be make a serious Super Bowl run. So now finally they have this in place where it looks like they can make serious Super Bowl runs. And if he wins one, I'm sure he'll feel a lot better. But how, when it comes time to move on for Rodgers, is he not going to have that in mind? I don't anticipate a happy split.
Well, once upon a time, I would have agreed with you until I saw Aaron Rodgers backpedal like the late Michael Jackson or Fred Astaire, God rest their souls. I mean, I mean, when I saw that backpedaling, anything's possible in terms of, you know, being an, you know, an amicable split or whatever. I just look at it from this perspective. I'm so disgusted looking at Gutekunst and looking at Matt LaFleur and them talk about Aaron Rodgers in such glowing fashion. So we have a guy that's about to be named league MVP who threw 48 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions, who hasn't thrown in double digits in interceptions in the last several years, who's one of the elite, if not the most talented quarterback we've ever seen in the history of football this side of Patrick Mahomes, who's still balling out. And with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left, down 8, at the goal line, at the 8-yard line, you take the ball out of his hands to hand it to Tom Brady, knowing that Tom Brady didn't need a single point. He didn't need a field goal. He didn't need a touchdown. All Tom Brady needed was 2 first downs. Maybe, because you had 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning if you were Green Bay. All you needed from Tom Brady was 2 first downs, and the game was sealed. And you took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, knowing that that was the alternative, knowing that that was the predicament. I think it's an unforgivable sin by the head coach of the Green Bay Packers in terms of football. I'll never forget it. As long as I'm on the air. As long as I'm on the air, unless Matt LaFleur comes out and wins a Super Bowl title, I will never, ever, ever on these airwaves let him live that decision down. It's that egregious to me. And so Gutekunst is going to come up in there because the guaranteed portion of Aaron Rodgers' contract has expired. There's no longer any guaranteed money. He spread out that $57 million signing bonus or whatever it was. And so he's scheduled to get paid $25.5 million next season, $25.5 million the year after. And that's where he is. So Aaron Rodgers, they'll probably throw more money his way and secure him in Green Bay, you know, monetarily speaking. But does that mean that you're giving him the respect that he deserves? The man has already made over $200 million in his career, Swagoo. Money hasn't been the issue in the National Football League. You got to spend the money anyway. Money hasn't been the issue. The point is the respect and deference that somebody of his caliber deserves. When you have someone that great and you don't prioritize taking care of them outside of the money, to me, that is the crime. And for Aaron Rodgers to not speak up and speak out about that says to me that it is entirely possible that things won't, quote unquote, end badly because he'll go along to get along to remain in Green Bay. And I find that to be sad because I think it's far more than the Green Bay Packers deserve.
Number one, I think it'll end fine. It'll end in business. Either end with him retiring or it'll end with a business. That's how everybody careers end. Tom Brady's career ended because of business in New England. Obviously, he had other suitors. I'm sure if Aaron Rodgers is free in a couple of years and Green Bay decides to move on, he'll have more suitors now that we have quarterbacks playing into this tender. But I'm telling you right now, man, like last segment, it was Max. Stephen A., I'm so sick of people like you talking about Aaron Rodgers and what's been done to him. Aaron Rodgers been in the NFC Championship back-to-back years with the Green Bay Packers. And we don't want to acknowledge that the front office did something right. We don't want to say that the Green Bay Packers brass has done something the right way to end up in the NFC Championship. You on this damn show all year telling me about how bad Dallas Cowboys are and they ain't been to the playoffs and they ain't going to do this. And now we supposed to feel sorry because Stephen A. says that the Green Bay Packers ain't took care of Aaron Rodgers. Is it possible? I just want to ask on First Take, is it possible that Aaron Rodgers didn't hold up his end of the bargain in the game?
No.
Is it possible
no.
that you should take away some of the credit from him like you do other quarterbacks?
No.
I heard you say Patrick Mahomes has all of these requisite weapons around him, so we shouldn't talk about Patrick Mahomes being all this great. Like, that example is horrible, too. But you gonna sit up here and say that I give you some other years, but these last 2 years, They've been good enough to be in the NFC Championship. And they also, let me go to football. What, since you want to talk about taking it out of his hands and something they'll never forgive him for. Tom Brady threw 3 interceptions. You know how many points Green Bay got off of that? 6. Mm-hmm. Is that Matt LaFleur?
Well,
is that not going for it on fourth
down? Do I get to respond? Do I get to respond?
Go ahead and respond.
Ain't nobody scared of what you're saying. Ain't nobody running from you. Ain't nobody running from you. I got something to say.
About the bad man.
Do I get to respond?
To the fact that he didn't get it done. Go ahead, man.
That's right. Listen, first of all, you ain't scared nobody. Huff and puff all you want to. Give a damn what you say. Just like you don't give a damn what everybody else say. Or you tired of what everybody say. I'm tired of what you got to say. I'm going to be watching you on NFL Live spewing the same nonsense. Here's the deal. Did you see Devontae Adams fail to keep his feet in bounds? I saw it. Did you see on the end of the end zone when he sat up there and Aaron Rodgers threw it to the left side and he couldn't keep it and he didn't turn around and catch it on the back end? Did you miss that? Did you see the drop passes that took place? I saw Aaron Rodgers balling throughout that game. It wasn't on him. Now, if you want to talk about the previous year, Matt LaFleur's first year there, I got that. I understand that. But this year, he's about to be crowned MVP. He showed up in an NFC Championship game. Oh, by the way, they 26 and 6 in the 2 years Matt LaFleur is there. That ain't got practically everything to do with Aaron Rodgers, I beg to differ. And all I'm saying to you is this. Of course, you got a running back. Aaron Jones can run the football. Devontae Adams can catch. Marvin Valdes-Scantling can play. I get all of that.
But number Aaron one offensive Rodgers line
is
in the league.
Straw that stirs that cup, Mr. Cowboy. I don't even know why you even try to make this argument with
Absolutely
me, with your cowboy
is.
Self.
What so you Stephen can sit up there and talk about,
well,
be
quiet, Max. Hold on for a second. I'm getting a swagger and I'll come to you in a second, Max.
What you ignore.
The bottom line is this. You're sitting there talking all of that, but I ask you a simple question. How egregious was it that you take the ball out of his hands to give it to Tom Brady where all Tom Brady needs is a damn first down or two to seal a deal? How egregious is that decision, Marcus?
I'm not arguing with you about that decision.
But that's what I'm talking about.
But it was 3 plays before that.
It matters. It matters. Then he got 4.
Yeah,
Hold on.
What you are ignoring, Stephen A., what you
ahead,
are
Max.
Ignoring is not only what Marcus said about the 6 points off of 3 turnovers, but the fact is at the end of the first half, Aaron Rodgers in the red zone is 3 and out. They 0-for-3 trying to link up with Devontae Adams. He didn't drag his feet in the end zone, everything. They weren't all perfect passes. And they had to kick a field goal. They then had to chase those points all game. They didn't convert on
you
a 2-point conversion. They wound up losing
pass.
By those 5 points. By the 4 points between
Max,
the touchdown
Max.
And the field goal and the missed 2-point conversion. Hold up. That's the 5 they lost for. They lost by. Now, we all agree it was a bad decision by LaFleur to not let Rodgers go for it. But listen carefully to what LaFleur said. He said, we just got 0 yards on 3 downs. Before that, I saw us. We just got 0 yards on 3 downs. And Aaron Rodgers had daylight and chose not to run. That's his decision,
that.
Stephen A. Don't put that all on the floor.
Aaron Rodgers specifically stated that in hindsight, we all know that he should have ran the ball for some yards the previous play. He was looking, but he had the mentality, we've got 4 downs. I'm looking at my receiver. I didn't even see the daylight because I'm looking at my receiver here, and I fling the football there, didn't get there. But his whole mentality is, I got 4 downs. In other words, never in his wildest dreams did he believe that the ball would get out of his hands. And correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus, didn't you hear Aaron Rodgers say, and did you and Dan Orlovsky not speak on NFL Live when y'all were appalled by Matt LaFleur saying, I needed to do a better job of communicating because he didn't realize
100%.
That I wasn't going to go for it on 4th down.
100%. 100%. But that still doesn't absolve Aaron Rodgers from not doing what he is expected to do. Stephen A., if this was any other superstar that didn't get it done, you would kill him. But
no, that's not
your
true.
Boy,
that's not
you
true.
You want to buy into
That's not true. That's not true. If I
Stephen
saw receivers
a,
dropping passes, Marcus, if I saw receivers dropping passes, if I saw running backs fumbling the football, Marcus, I would have let Dak Prescott off the hook. Yes, I would have.
Godwin dropped the
if
pass.
If Mike McCarthy had taken the ball out of Dak Prescott's hand to give it to Tom Brady, I'd have called him out too. If Tomlin had taken it out of Big Ben Roethlisberger's hands to give it to Tom Brady, I'd have called him out too. Yes, I would have.
I'm not going to sit on the show and allow people to say that the Green Bay Packers don't have players outside of Aaron Rodgers. It's not
true. I'm not saying that.
It's not. It's false.
I didn't say that.
And we can say that Aaron Rodgers didn't deliver because we hold every other superstar.
Marcus, take a breath. Stephen A., take a breath. The segment's over. We got to stop talking. I'm going to end it with this. Aaron Rodgers is the first quarterback since 1970
to
lose four straight conference championship games. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. No question, and it's Super Bowl week. We are counting down to Super Bowl 55, and we are now joined by NFL All-Pro defensive end Jared Allen. Jared, so good to see you. Jared's joining us on behalf of Volvo Cars, helping to promote their creative Super Bowl sweepstakes program. So, Jared, we'll get into that in just a bit, and obviously I want to ask you about the defenses in this matchup, but let's start with your pick. Who are you going with, sir? Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs or Tom Brady and the Bucks? And I'm not letting you off the hook till you give me an answer.
You know what? So I was drafted by the Chiefs and had so many great, I love the Chiefs. I really want them to do well, but I got to be honest. I think what Tom Brady did this year, and like I said, I've been a Brady hater because he has 10 times more Super Bowls than I've even played in for that reason. But I just think what he is doing to be able to switch and go from the AFC and go from a spot where he spent 20 years, new organization, new town, new team, and taking him to the Super Bowl, it's impressive. I love watching greatness. So, you know, I think I want to see Tom Brady, you know, be the first home team to win a Super Bowl, but it's by a slim margin. So I'm going to go with rooting a little bit for the Bucks, but if the Chiefs win, I'm cool with that too.
Jared, welcome to the show. Thank you for being on the show, my brother. How do you think Tom Brady has pulled this off? To be 43 years of age, particularly in this season, I know he's got a bevy of weapons, only sacked 21 times this year, but explain to us, what are you seeing from him that you may not have seen from anybody else?
It's work ethic. I mean, I think you just look with the way he made that transition, right? I mean, from high school, high school workouts and just constantly pushing people to be better. I mean, I've never played with Tom, and I don't know him, personally off the field and like that. But, I saw it when Brett came to the Vikings, right? This mystique of why somebody is so great. You assume, they were a great talent, they're a great mind, great coaching, great team, all that stuff. But what I saw was, Brett's work ethic. And when Brett would be at the facility until 10:30 at night, and I can only see that that's got to be what Tom Brady did. And to weather the storm, everybody's expectations were so high. And at the beginning of the year, he's taking all this heat. I think they were, win a few, lose a couple, and bounce back and forth. And then they went on this run. So I think just his ability to push through and to block out the noise and stay single-mindedly focused. I mean, the mental preparation, is got to be second to none. And that's what I really see, is just the fortitude to push through and understand the process will eventually, pay off. And he got everybody down there to buy in.
Jared, when I look at Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned Brett Favre. I see Favre minus the turnovers, like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had a baby, right? When you look at Patrick Mahomes, what do you see?
That dude is special, you know, and again, I think the Chiefs are going to win multiple Super Bowls for years and years to come as long as he stays healthy. But that's exactly what you see. You see a combination of a guy that, you know, you usually take a guy who's dangerous in the pocket and you want to force him to the edge, right? Or you got a guy that's, you know, dangerous on the edge, you want to force him to stay in the pocket. He's going to beat you either way. I mean, the only thing I could see, you know, with guys like that, you got to get as much, you know, pressure up the middle, A-gap push to just to collapse and try to destroy him that way. But the dude, I mean, he literally has every single tool. And not to mention, I think you look what Andy Reid's done too, and you got to give credit to the coaching staff, is they're using those tools. So many coaches get stuck in how they want to do things and they try to make guys fit their program. They've obviously designed a program around, you know, a home strengths. And they are, I mean, it's fun to watch. It really is. I mean, you can't help but root for the guy. And again, I think, you know, it's more like old school, new school. I'm an old school guy, so I think that's kind of why I lean one way a little bit. But that dude is greatness in the making, and it's fun to watch.
Jared, let me get you in the midst. Let me put you on the spot a little bit by getting you in the midst, in the middle of an argument that we've been having. You know, when we watch the NFC Championship game, and this is obviously what Tom Brady had to go through in order to get to this daggone Super Bowl, I'm looking at a Green Bay team that said, I know we have Aaron Rodgers, but I'm going to have my defense give the ball to – I'm going to give the ball to Tom Brady with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left, and all he needs is a first down or two to seal the victory. What do you feel about a decision like that?
Oh, I thought it was great because I'm a Green Bay Packers hater. So I thought, you know, kudos, coach. But as a player, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I probably would have walked off the field, honestly. I mean, that as a player's position, and then everybody will be politically correct about it, but the bottom line, that was a slap in the face to Aaron Rodgers. You basically did not think your guy and your offense could score a touchdown at that point, and you wanted to put it in the hands of defense. You try to be too analytical. You try to be too smart, and it came back to bite them. I mean, I wouldn't give the worst quarterback in the league a chance to get a first down and run the clock out on me. You know, you're down at the 10-yard line or 8-yard line, whatever it is.
Eight.
That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. You got to go for that. You got to put it on the shoulders of your star players, and you know. As a player, if anybody player says otherwise, they're lying to you. They felt so disrespected. They felt that they were not trusted in that moment, and it's over. They're going to be spending the entire offseason trying to bridge that gap, and it's never going to be bridged. In the back of Aaron's mind, he'll always be like, man, this is ridiculous. You had no faith in me.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's arguing that point. We all agree it's a blunder to take the ball out of the hands of the MVP who's trying to help you win and put it in the hands of the GOAT who's trying to beat you. That, I think, safe to say, is a blunder, and that's
down,
exactly
Max.
How it turned out. Jared,
needing a first down. Not even a point,
right.
just a first down
to beat you. Jared, I'm interested in the Super Bowl matchup with the position you know most about, right? We're talking about the line of scrimmage here. Like, what happens there? Because Patrick Mahomes is missing both his starting tackles, both, and they're Pro Bowl caliber guys, Schwartz and Fisher, and they're both gone. And the Bucs, considering what Tyreek Hill did to him last time, are going to have to get pressure with four. You're a four-time first-team All-NFL defensive end. When you look at that matchup, the Bucs front four against what they're going to be facing, or really front seven, what they're going to be facing on that Chiefs O-line, what do you think?
You got to attack. I think, you know, if you take the mindset, and I've played in both defenses where you take a guy like Aaron, where they try to, you know, contain Rusham, so to speak, and you're just taking the bullets away from your players. And the Bucs got a pretty decent D line. They got some guys that can rush the passer, and you got backup tackles. You need to attack. And you know, I would bracket Tyreek Hill, put a safety down on Kelce, and you know, and make them get the ball out fast. I think that's your only hope, is make Mahomes get the ball out fast. And worst case scenario, let him run for 10 yards. You know, but you don't want to get, you know, 90 yards over the top of you. So I would double that guy and then just attack those edges and attack pressure up the middle. And I would try to force the ball out of the hands quick and get the guys on the ground. But Yeah, I mean, but your eyes start lighting up, and especially now that you got a little film, you got 2 weeks to prepare for a backup. Because sometimes a backup tackle is the worst to go against because you got no film and they're just kind of in your way because they're not as technically sound, and so they're not going to fight you the same way a starter would. But yeah, you got to lick your chops, and again, I mean, take your shot because if not, it's the same. It's almost that it as a defensive player, if you get talked into like, hey, we're going to contain rush him and send a spy. It's the same. It's almost that same feeling that Aaron's probably facing. You're saying, okay, you're not trusting me to do my job and get this guy on the ground. I got a second rate player in front of me. No disrespect, as far as you know, the mindset is going. Is I got a guy who's not even a starter, and you want to tell me that I gotta limit my rush to try to contain the guy? I think you just gotta, you know, guns a blazing and go out on your shield, if anything.
Excellent breakdown from an excellent defensive mind. Jared Allen, before we let you go, when I hear the word sweepstakes, it makes me excited because it makes me think of prizes and money and free things. So what exactly are you doing with the Super Bowl sweepstakes and potentially cars with Volvo?
Yeah, so Volvo reached out to me because I have the record for safeties, and they're one of the safest vehicles on the road today. And they're giving away $2 million worth of cars if there's a safety in this Super Bowl. So, I mean, way I look at it, if there's a blowout, just let's get to the long snapper, have them snap it over the punter's head. Let's get a safety. Let's give some cars away. And the reason it's $2 million, it's a cool thing. When I was talking to Volvo, it's not about the number. So they've saved over 1 million lives with the invention of the seatbelt, right? So Volvo had the patent on the three-point seatbelt harness, and they left it open for everybody. And they said, you know, up to last year, they had saved up to 1 million lives with the seatbelt. And so they want to save 1 million more lives through technology innovation of their car. So that's what the whole $2 million is coming from. So it's a cool deal. Like I said, and all you got to do is go out and sign up. We get a safety and, you know, people are driving new vehicles.
I like
Before we let you go, Jared, I love that concept, how they did the safety with your record and safe cars. And as the daughter of an insurance agent, I can confirm that Volvos are very safe cars. My father always told me that. Thank you so much for being with us. Enjoy the game.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.